today is Monday, February the 11th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Mr. Snowman himself, Chris Hartley.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good morning. Snow for sure.
Yeah, little bit of a interesting weekend.
Pretty good storm, yeah. We got a few schools closed this morning, too, and I'm sure folks are hearing about that out there, but due to some power outages and things like that. I know Neyland School's down. I know primarily due to snow and power, and I know Fieldbrook is down, and I live out by there, so I know firsthand what that's like going on there. And I think a few elementaries, a few schools in Southern Humboldt. I don't have the specifics, and possibly KT as well, but folks can get that information on the other radios and by calling their districts.
So how do you make the call?
Well, power is your number one thing, and then transportation. You know, those are a couple of the biggies. If you're out in the rural programs,
nobody can get
buses,
there.
Yeah, you know, safety first, for sure. But if your power is looking like it's not going to come back on for several hours, you generally will close school.
I'm going to ask you, because I ask everybody about this. With the Y2K thing 20 years ago now, right? Everybody had backup generators.
Oh, yeah,
that was going to be the big... What happened to them?
You know, I don't think a lot of the schools have the backup generators. We know we have a few. There's a school out in KT that runs on a generator, so they're good to go.
Major disappointment for the kids. Yeah,
right. They're like, hey, we're up. Except getting out there would be tough. But you know, some of our schools, I know at McKimball High, they had backup generator systems there. If you had an emergency, you know, that was going to be a long term, I think a lot of our schools are probably equipped. Because they serve as community centers in a lot of cases, particularly in our rural areas.
It's the streetlights are the ones that always get to me.
There you go.
They talk about all this stuff. You know, we have chaos all over the place. You couldn't drive at nighttime. And they still go out when there's a car crash.
There you go.
Okay. Or why do they say that this morning? Are you ready? Corny. Where do we get the slang word corny?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind are, I like corn nuts. They're tasty. Has anything to do with nuts?
No. From the ancient Sanskrit. Okay, now the way it's spelled is J-I-R-N-A.
Okay.
Jirna, I would guess.
Oh, okay.
Which means old and worn out.
There you go.
So a corny joke is...
Corny joke is old and worn out.
Yeah.
I'll remember that next time you have a joke.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Everybody has a little Sanskrit now to reference. Oh, boy. Normally this time of the year we're talking about you guys playing with budgets, kind of getting things together, seeing
hard.
where you are in the current year and
for
then
sure.
looking ahead. What was it, this time last year, the governor was starting to make a little bit of noise about this or that. Have you heard anything else about what the upcoming fiscal year is going to be like?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the budgets, we get the first update in January, and then we just had actually some folks come up from Sacramento. We use a group, Capital Advisors. They came up and I had a superintendent's forum on Friday, or Thursday rather. And they gave a full budget review of what's coming down the pike. And, you know, it's a favorable budget for schools. We're
is that like COLA or is that a little bit more?
Well, you got COLA. There's like a little over 3% COLA in there. And then, you know, some fundings of some specialized programs. He's going to contribute around $3 billion to help buy down the cost of the STRS benefit. I think we talked about that before, how the cost of paying for benefits in PERS and STRS has been really extreme. And the employer contributions just skyrocketed. So $3 billion puts a little tiny dent in that, which is kind of scary when you think about it. $3 billion doesn't really change much, but it's an effort by him to help defray some of those costs. And that's a one-time thing.
I would suspect if it helps to decrease the escalation of the price.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to dampen it a bit.
Yeah.
You know, but what we look at are two things, really. Ongoing contributions, which we like. And then one times. And so there's a considerable amount of like one time money in the budget, you know, which is helpful for the short term. But the ongoing contribution is what we're always really interested in. Where's that headed?
With the one timers, infrastructure related?
Yeah, there's some facility stuff in there, you know, a little bit in there for that, perhaps some technology things. The STRS would be considered like a one time. You know, benefit there as well.
But things that you can purchase so that, you know, okay, you don't have to buy them now for the next 15 or 20 years.
Right. Or you try to identify that for a specialized project or something that you're going to be involved in. Or, you know, you look at perhaps if your reserve is a little low, this is a way to kind of contribute to your reserve. And then we look at COLA and we look at the cost of living and take a look at your expenses. You know, most districts will take that COLA and go, okay, what's our obligation to salaries? take that off of the COLA. What's our obligation to benefits? You know, you take it, you got to take your known costs off first, and then you kind of see what's left over. And so that's what folks will be doing, and then try to figure out, okay, what do we do with these? And then that'll generally be part of negotiations, talks, and labor talks, and then, you know, projects and curriculum and, you know, things like that. So
I'm going to stay away.
A lot going on right now, a lot of moving parts.
Stay away from Denver for you this morning. Yeah. There was also a little bit of concern that you had expressed, Chris, about some of the specialized needs kids.
Yes,
that those fundings were not necessarily guaranteed into this year, the obligation to provide those services were. Did Newsom put anything towards that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's a lot of talk in special ed. Outside of the traditional budget proposal, there isn't anything specific for it yet, but there's some potential language. The biggest thing we're pushing for here locally, Brian, is what we would call an equalization of special ed funds. So special ed is operated in units called SELPAs, and they receive the dollars from the state. And each SELPA receives it based on a dollar amount per student in the SELPA. So what's interesting is those rates were set in the late 80s based upon the percentage of students in special ed in areas at that time. In Humboldt County, the rate was set at around $490 per student. Well, there are SELPAs in the state that get around $800 and higher per student because of those 80s, back in 1980s, the rates. So what we're pushing for is a resetting of those rates, because at this point, Humboldt County has one of the highest special ed rates in the state.
So that's a per kid?
Per student, correct.
In addition to
the other. Yes, exactly. So that's a big push for us to get an equalization of those funds.
It's 819.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Dilnort counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Dilnort and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chris Hartley. You thawed out yet?
I'm working on it. Yeah. It's pretty cold up at my place. We're out of power, as I was just telling you. And so, yeah, we got the wood stove jamming. But, yeah.
You want a clue? Here. You want a clue?
I've always
loved Drive those. With the window up.
Thanks, Brian.
It'll help.
Thank you. Thanks. Doggone it. Why haven't I figured that out?
Yeah, well, you know. You transplants. It takes a little while. Oh, boy. Chris, a lot of times we talk about training.
Yes,
you
know, sir.
You guys, during some of the breaks during summertime, I know there's incentive for the staff to get out there and to take care of that stuff and kind of stay abreast of what's going on. Does it tend to be subject matter in the K-12, or does it tend to be technology and things that develop efficiencies in the delivery of the information?
Well, kind of a little bit of both and a lot of other topics, too. You know, so depending on the experience of an educator, how many years they've been in the classroom, perhaps, would dictate the kind of training that they're looking for. You know, a lot of times our first-time teachers are really focused on things like classroom management and culture in the classroom with enhanced curriculum, because the bottom line is you can have the best curriculum, but if you have a hard time managing your class, you're not going to be able to deliver it.
It doesn't matter.
And so we work really hard on those skills and give them the support they need.
Now, do those rules change?
So. No. I mean, everybody's got their own way of running their classroom, but it's just the technique of managing a group of students is an art form, right? And so there's a lot that you can learn. And honestly, we do a lot of mentoring up here. You can take a class and, you know, and learn a topic, but having somebody to sit down next to who's a veteran teacher who can say, all right, here's some tips, you know, and we do a lot of coaching now, too, where, teachers will come in and work with each other. And I'm going to observe you teach today as a teacher, as a colleague. It's non-threatening. And we're going to talk about some things that I saw and coach each other. And so that's a really that's a positive way to go about it.
Now, will you bring that individual into the classroom, the mentor, or will they be remote cases. Watching through cameras
so that the
dynamic doesn't change
in the
room?
They'd be in the classroom. And we try to do – there's different theories on it. The one that I like the most is where the coach is really paying attention to the students. So we're used to watching the teacher up there, but what you really should be watching is how are the kids doing with that person, and that brings a different twist to the observation, right? And the feedback that you can get because you're not necessarily seeing certain things.
Well, like when your back's to the wall and you're writing on the chalkboard.
Yeah. What are they doing? Yeah,
blackboard exactly. Or easy board or like whatever the thing is called these days.
Yeah,
you guys have blackboards.
Well, there's a lot of whiteboards. Whiteboard now.
Now is that like the grease board or is that the electronic fancy thing?
No, I mean, well, there's a few of those, but I think most people just stick to the traditional whiteboard. Oh. To be honest with you, with the marker.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened to chalk?
Well, they're around, you know, but honestly, they're a mess. The whiteboard's pretty slick. It's a lot easier to clean, too, for our staffs and everybody.
Okay.
But we do a lot of other trainings, you know, again, depending on your experience. But here locally, this weekend, we're very busy on Friday and Saturday. We have 25 districts got new board members elected this year. So we have around 39 new board members in Humboldt County. And the California School Boards Association, I was really working hard to be able to host them. They do a 5-day training around the role of school boards and the governance team. And so they held their first 2-day training this weekend. So we had folks, actually some out of town, people from Mendocino and Ukiah came up. And I think we had around 9 local districts participate. And that's a real important training. So it's called Masters in Governance. And the importance of a good governance team for a district is critical. And that these folks were willing to take their Friday and Saturday to sit and participate in that means, you know, they're certainly committed to the position and they're learning a lot. So that was happening too. So that's a different kind of training altogether, right?
Are all your seats filled? I know in the past that I think there's been a need for appointments.
They're all filled.
Okay.
At this point. I believe.
As of Friday afternoon around 3:30?
Things happen in people's lives. I'm not aware of a position that's open. I might be mistaken, but I believe we're completely filled, but particularly because we just had an election as well.
That's got to be a little bit easier to sleep at night then.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's nice. I mean, you know, and it's a big job to volunteer your time to serve on a school board, and that the folks were willing to come in on their own time even more and learn about some of these things, and they'll have four or three or more sessions that they'll go through, and then they'll have a full training, and it covers everything from just the role and the responsibilities to finance to special education to, you know, this topic, that topic, and the other. And by the time they're through, they've got a really good sense of what their job entails.
And the jargon associated with the educational system.
well, no kidding, right? I mean, acronym soup. For sure. And so, yeah, but that's part of it, is understanding all those different things, like the local control accountability plan. I was sitting in on the training they had Saturday, and the presenter was really going into detail about what this is and what this means for you as a school board member, and I was appreciative that she was doing that. Because
So saying autonomy doesn't quite cut it.
Well, you're a governing...
Not enough detail down.
And you're a governing team. You know, the fact is you're a team.
I would think that for the new folks, well, let me step back. When they come in and you guys start the training, do you have a questionnaire before? What do you think with the questions? And then at the end of the training, what do you think? And it's the same questions and then kind of do.
You know, they didn't do that in this training, but that's a really good idea. Kind of get some ideas on the front end of your perspectives and perceptions and then check them at the end. That's a really good idea.
Well, what I have heard from a lot of the electeds over the years and staff is that electeds don't know where the line is
between their role,
how far they should go. Right. No, you can't tell that teacher to blank, but you're used to being able to have regular communication.
This is now different because
you got a title.
Yes, that is one of the most important things to get squared away, and that's what they focused on this first weekend, is roles and responsibility. Who does what? You know, generally the school board is all about the what, and the superintendent and the staff's about the how.
And the win? It's 8:30.
There you go. Boom.
Myrtletown Body Shop's attention to detail is second to none. Their superb craftsmanship and friendly service will please you. Myrtletown Body Shop.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Chris Hartley. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, by Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Chris, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, I mean, training is, I guess it's kind of a boilerplate. It's locked in, it's routine. Now, the information changes,
sure.
But the process of training is there. When you have new staff, new boards, new challenges that are out there, does that just change the content of the training, or does that add on additional training requirements that you need because the basics still have to be touched on as well?
Yeah, it's probably a both and to answer that, you know, depending on what, the skill set of the folks and their experience. But if you have new initiatives that are coming through, like, for instance, the science curriculum adoption, if you're looking at teaching or a new math standards, I mean, so, yeah, you're having to tweak your knowledge base and learn some new material. Technology is an area that's always changing, you know, so trying to keep up with those things and the demands of that. But a lot of the basics are still the basics. Good teaching is still good teaching. We don't need to reinvent the wheel, and I think educators tend to maybe do that too often, to be quite honest with you. But those of us been around a while, you've seen, like, you know, the first time I was doing a principal at McKinleyville High, we had a teacher, and we were redoing our courses of study. So you go through and you re-bench kind of like your content and your units and when they're going to hit. And he called me into his office, and he says, well,
wait.
Take a look at my course.
You were the
study.
Principal?
I was the principal at McKinleyville High.
And this was a teacher, and he called you into his office.
He said, come check this out. You know, and he goes, pulls out a file cabinet, and there's all these courses of study. He goes, which one would you like? And the point was really good for me, you know, as a young administrator, is like, okay, you can, you know, good curriculum, frankly, is just good curriculum. We don't need to reinvent the wheel for the sake of reinventing the wheel.
And I would suggest that there's probably a vast majority of the subject matters that don't change.
Yeah, it's the delivery.
I mean, if it's European history.
That's right.
You know, Middle Ages. I mean,
the content.
Not going to change a heck of a lot unless there's that big find and then everybody knows about it.
Content is the content. And the bottom line is how well are you delivering it and how engaged are your students? And, you know, are you engaging in projects and making it hands-on and relevant? That's where the rubber hits the road, right?
That's what I was going to ask
about.
You
get the motivation for students. And so that kind of behavioral instruction, that's what it's really all about. And that we have a lot of folks in Humboldt County who just excel in this area. We've got, you know, particularly projects like the History Day coming up. You know, that's a project-based thing that the teacher can integrate learning about a particular project situation into their history class. And that integrates English and social studies. I mean, so anything we can do to make curriculum come to life, that's good practice. And so we do a lot of that work up here.
What about trends? You know, do you suggest? Do you suggest strongly that some of the current trends get wrapped into the curriculum? Think of current events, or
sure.
I guess it would be civics today. Oh. Okay. With all the stuff that's going on and with all the polarization that's going on, et cetera, things are different than 15 or 20 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. The presentation of the information might be the same. The information
is different.
Mm-hmm. The community reaction is significantly different. So rather than, you know, in the old days, you know, Uncle Walter.
Right.
that's Walter Cronkite for those under 50. you know, believability was like 95% or something along those lines. Now nobody's above 30%.
Right.
Okay, so using Wikipedia as a research or any media outlet there's not a neutral anymore. It's all perspective.
For sure.
So learning how
to
disseminate.
Even how we research, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So we, you know, remember the librarian?
Yeah.
So we would
library skills was
media specialist, right? Oh, sorry. Another aspect of that job. But no, but because there's so much in media. And so a lot of these folks, they work closely with teachers to talk about good research skills. So like if you're going to look at the internet and you're researching what's a valid source, because as you said, the believability and the variety of information you can get by just Googling something is drastic. And so that's a big part of curriculum that you could definitely point to as a new approach to research. Back in the day, you know, you grab the encyclopedia. We're not doing that much anymore.
Well, would you have ever thought that library skills or librarians would be a far more critical component to the educational experience? 30 years ago was where the books lined up in Dewey Decimal and we've got the card catalog.
Probably not.
Way different today.
That's a whole new world. So if you look at an area that's drastically changed as far as instruction goes, that is an area for sure. And we need to support our schools in having media specialists and providing training. And if you look at the History Day project again, you know, those students are utilizing those kind of databases and they're learning like what's a valid source for this topic that I'm researching versus something that's not valid. So that's a whole new scope. If you were to talk about changes in learning and education, that is certainly a relevant one to talk about.
Yeah, I've been sucked into the Smithsonian Channel the last little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a couple of the series, and it's, yeah, there's some things I can kind of sense are a little bit slanted, but by and large, you know, some of this new information that's out in the last 20 years about things, it's alluring.
Well,
yeah, it's really easy for them to set the hook and reel me in. It's like, wait a minute, let me double check. Well, maybe that's what Blackbeard did. Maybe it's not quite the same way based on, and I think for me and a lot of us, this whole Murder Mountain thing that Netflix was doing.
Yes.
Things have now changed in how facts are presented aren't necessarily the way that facts really are.
Dramatization and all that.
Start to learn a little bit about, well, okay, is it being presented for information's sake or for ratings?
Yeah.
Even documentaries now are starting to get into that arena. So I think that library skill is really critical.
It is important. And to know what's a quality resource and then to how to make an individualized assessment of how does this information feel to me too, right? Just like you're saying. So you look at the extremes, the truth is generally somewhere in the middle. And for our students to be able to kind of filter their information in their world that way, I think it's important, particularly when it comes to if you're getting all your news off of Facebook or social media, you know, you want to be thinking about those sources and the accuracy of that information and hopefully draw your own opinion somehow based on what you're hearing. That's what we're trying to do, you know, is create that opportunity for students to be independent that way.
I would think any one source on anything.
It's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You got to do some research. So those things are changing. Are the teachers' expectations of information sourcing also changing?
Oh, for sure.
I would imagine that they're looking for, okay, if you've got Drudge, then you've got somebody from a different perspective also
I can say this safely that from when we would do research and how you and I might cite our information is very different today. And the teachers have done a nice job working with students on citing the work and their resources really well and using an MLA format. And let's just call it an MLA format, Brian. You love
it's
the acronyms
that I bring
in here.
It's not a footnote?
Well, it is a footnote, but there's a procedure for students on how they identify. And the teachers have done a nice job, you know, here locally instructing students to a consistent way that they can cite their resources because of the topic we're having. It's an important thing to get right.
Do parents understand it, too? So if they're assisting and helping, they...
Yeah. I think they have opportunities to figure it out when they're younger, if they're using it at that point. I can say for my kids, I didn't really stay on top of what they were doing with the research citing stuff because I was lucky.
We used to have great, robust discussions about some of the history papers and stuff, perspectives.
Sure.
Yeah. MLA. Good. Guess what we'll be talking about during the break? KINS, News and Information Times, 844.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 848. Final couple minutes this morning with Mr. Hartley. Chris, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, whether it's curriculum-based or staff, what does next year look like? Are there big initiatives that are out there that you're excited about? Is it kind of hold our own, but we'll be a little bit better off financially? What does it look like?
As far as the in the educational arena, I think it's kind of going to hold. We're going to hold steady. And one of the things you have to balance is between innovation and implementation, right? There's a balance. So we've had a lot of innovation. We've got a lot of new programs that are happening at the county office. I'm very excited about our career education work that we have. We're looking at an apprenticeship model, in fact, right now. And how we can get students placed more in jobs and connected to local employers and options outside of just your traditional college route, right? There's a lot of things that we can still continue to grow in. But we have to be careful, too, that we slow down to actually implement these programs deeply and not just be jumping from one great idea to the next, right? And so for me, in our organization, I see us doing a lot more this next year of, okay, we've got a new thing. Let's just implement it well, let's learn it well, and let's deeply get involved in it instead of jumping to the next new idea. And that's a tough one, you know.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of creative people around and the people that are really into it, but that's going to be our focus at the county office.
Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thank you. Great day.
See everybody tomorrow.